Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeah, baby, we're live.
And, well, hey, boys.
Yeah, I hear you, Lauren. Talk to us, baby. I see you. I hear you. I don't see you enough these days. Get your ass down here in this building every now and then and say hello. Why don't
I'm
you?
I'm so excited that we can be together again.
Well, hell, we ain't been together enough, Lauren.
I did not expect us opening the show with shots at Laura Riddle.
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm doing everything I can to get that sexy traffic back on this thing, man. Hey, I'm trying to do everything I can to get that sexy traffic. Hey, when the people speak, man, old Dirty's listening now.
Love you, Laura.
Hey, yeah, like, no, look, Laura loves it now. Don't get it wrong. We just got to find a sponsor now, and it's going to be on and popping, baby. We'll get that. That's well worth getting a little bread for right there. There's no doubt about it. As my man Reginald Atitula. By the way, Reg, I know you're still in the building. I can't say Reggie Atitula. It just don't come off right.
Look, I'll answer.
Hey, I'm just telling you. If I make up in my mind, which is a lonely place sometimes, if I make up in my mind, like, I'm fixing it, I'm going to use his whole name, it's Reginald Atitula.
It's a good one if you want to use it.
Reg, like, if I see you in the hallway, it's going to be Reg, but if I'm going to put that whole name out
there. Okay, I was going to say, because Reginald feels very formal. It feels like we're not friends if I call you Reginald. It's like, am I your guy or not? Can I call you Reggie? Can I call you Reg?
I'm good with all
of them. I'll call you whatever you want. I'm just saying.
No, and that's the thing. I'm good with all of them. But one thing I said is I wasn't mad at my mama with the name she gave me. It's a good one.
So no, it's a good one.
Call me that.
Reginald Atitula.
If somebody walks
strong.
Up and says,
strong.
Do you know Reggie Atitula? No, that sounds foreign to me. Reginald Atitula? Yeah, I got him. Absolutely. Got I got that one. It just I don't know. It just rolls off the tongue just right. It feels wrong when I say it any other way. But as Reginald Atitula said, you need to be listening to the 3 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour today for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Brooks and Dunn, baby. 3 p.m. We're going to give away the 4-pack to Brooks and Dunn. And at 5 o'clock, we're going to be giving away a 4-pack to Cody Jinx, two big-time acts, definitely in the state of Texas. They'll sell the joint out. It will be tough to park. It'll be tough to get in the building. But once you get in there and that music starts, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be one hell of a time, no doubt about it. Also, want to thank everybody out there for listening on that AM FM dial. Thank you for tuning in and visually and audio-wise on that Twitch and YouTube. We're doing some big things on those pages. B. Scott's got that role in that. I don't even know if I mentioned it, but B. Scott is in again today for Ron Hughley. But we appreciate everybody for listening the way you listen. I want to encourage everybody out there to download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Download the Audacy app. Take us everywhere you go, live and in the moment. You got us. There's also rewind features. You can go back and catch earlier segments. There's also a bank of all the segments and all that are podcasted, as well as all the podcasts that are published here at the station are on that Audacy app as well. You got to have it, man. You got to download it. AUDACY. Stay plugged into Sports Radio 610 Houston Sports Leader any way that you can. Right now, the Astros, they got a little split squad action going on. For anybody out there that cares to get a spring training update, Spencer Arrighetti is on the bump, or was on the bump, versus the Cardinals. 3 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 4 Ks. Abreu also with 1 scoreless inning. Taylor Scott, Otay-Tay, He had one scoreless inning as well. And I think the biggest note in this, again, split squad means they split the squad up. You got two games going at one time. We'll jump into that next game here in a second. But right now, this game happens to be the one where Altuve misjudged the ball in left field, which, look, this is the worry for Astros fans, right? I mean, look, I'm not going to over everybody up at the mezzanine level that knows it's a long season. Relax. It's a conversation we're having, right? But, like, this is one of the pain points, if you will, with the Astros this year, is what does Altuve look like in left field? And this is the fear. This was a, yes, he was at the wall, but this was a routine fly ball for an outfielder that's played outfield in Major League Baseball for a while.
Right.
Standing at the wall, missed times to jump. You know, the ball should have just stood there and caught it.
Which then, he is not, to be fair. Right.
Right. No. Well, he is this year. He is our left fielder this year.
Well, what I'm saying, as somebody that hasn't been doing, he is now, but he hasn't done it.
Right. Right. But that's the fear. It showed itself up. That is the fear. I think this is the first time for me. I think the throw that he made, I don't know, it was a week or so ago where it was a throwing error, but he completely missed the catcher from shallow left field. To me, that's a fear as well. But this right here is when he's on the run and he's tracking the ball, I don't think there's going to be a problem. But when he is having to deal with the wall, the different dimensions of parks, and filling the wall and filling the warning track and things of that nature, I think there's a chance we can see some of this throughout the year. And this was the kind of mistake that could end up costing you a game.
Yeah.
The runner ended up on third base. This is what, if you're an Astros fan, this is what you're looking out for and you're a tad bit worried about.
Yeah, so I can't stress enough, man, like when you reach a point with a guy and say the position that he's been playing his whole life or his whole career, he's not good enough to play that position, and then the solution is not we're going to move him to DH or not we're going to move him to a position that he's played a little bit lesser but has also played before, but we're going to put him in a spot that he's never played. Like, that is a drastic move. And to expect him to be able to do that, especially at his age, I mean, it's just it is a lot to ask. And everything that made us perk our ears up a little bit and kind of give it the side eye when we first heard about it is showing itself up. It's not like we were kind of looking at it kind of crazy for no reason, right? He struggles with his arm. And then he just has no experience tracking balls and tracking fly balls and being an outfielder. So to ask him to do that this far into his career, as if like you don't need any experience doing that, or you can just go out there and do it just because you've played baseball, is a lot to ask. So yeah, no, we're reaching a point where it's like, okay, so what is the way to get Jose Altuve's bat in the lineup? Is he passable in the outfield? Because you can only put him out there if he's passable. If he's not, then he's not. They've already kind of told you just by making the move that he can't do it at second base.
Yeah.
So what does it mean?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, it's one of the fascinating stories about this season, along with Cam Smith and along with some of the young pitchers that we saw earlier in the year, and along with, you know, what do they do in terms of replacing Bregman and how the hell do they replace the future of Kyle Tucker and what he meant in right field? Like, how do they replace those? The shift of Altuve is definitely going to be an interesting one, as well as some of those guys that are staples on this team now and in this lineup now. Can they take the next step? The Pena, the Jacob Myers, who, by the way, had a diving catch, for all my Gold Glove Jacob Myers fans out there, had a diving catch in left center today in this game as well. That game right now, I believe, is tied up 1-1 going into the ninth inning. Alvarez had the lone RBI with an RBI single. We'll see how we'll keep you posted on how that game ends. The other spring training game, Astros. It is a split squad game. Ronel Blanco, it was on the bump versus the Miami Marlins. Blanco, this is not a good outing for him. Now again, he could have been working on something in spring training. Take it for what it's worth. 3 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 run. 4 of those runs were earned. 1 walk, 4 Ks. He did give up a home run. He's the only pitcher in this particular game of note that I saw. Chaz McCormick, he did lead off in this lineup here. He does have a hit. He also walked once. He scored once. And this would be the weaker of the two split squads that we're looking at here.
Yeah.
And again, Blanco's the only one of note that's been in the game so far from a pitching perspective. That game right now, bottom of six. Top of seven, it is 8-5 Astros over the Marlins right now.
Yeah, you tell me that Chaz McCormick, and not white boy Chaz, but Chaz McCormick is leading off the lineup, then that's all I need to know about with that side of the split squad is going on. You know what I mean?
Come at me about white boy Chaz.
That tells you enough. Maybe moving him around, seeing what he can do in the leadoff spot. Obviously, he's not going to be there in the season, but just, I guess, trying to get him as many at-bats in a game as you possibly can to see if you can't get him going. Another note here, there are, back to the first game that I mentioned, that's a 1-1 game in the top of nine. It does look like Cam Smith played in this game. Cam Smith started in right field. He was 0-for-2. In this game, his average is down to .409 and his slugging's .773 right now. So there's your Cam Smith watch. As I mentioned, Yordan Alvarez with the RBI single there to lock that one up at tie that one up at one for the Astros. I don't know. I mean, when I look at the Altuve thing, for me, I'm not overly concerned. I don't want to oversell this and overthink this. I think he's actually going to end up being really good in a getting a jump and tracking in the line. Like I think that's going to come very natural to him. But when you look at the wall coming into play, which is probably going to happen quite a bit at home, right? I mean, you talk about it being a short porch, but that's a big wall. Ball bounces off of it all over the place. It's a short porch, so you get to deal with it a little bit more, I would imagine. So that's something that Altuve is going to have to overcome, man.
And so for me, I just set my expectations pretty low. Like I went into it with a certain level of acceptance. It's Jose Altuve. I want his bat in the lineup. And so I just have gone into it not expecting him to be like at a certain level. But we are kind of requiring him to be at a certain level because, again, he's got to at least be passable. Yeah. I do think about this, though, and this is almost sacrilegious given that it's Jose Altuve. But it does kind of make me think now how sad it is that the only guy that the Astros kept from their core, from their championship core, is now one that can't play his position. And look, I'm not saying don't keep Jose Altuve or that they shouldn't have or that I don't want him around. It's just that when you think about all of the business decisions that they've made, and of course, Altuve has taken hometown discounts and other guys haven't. I understand that.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
But you look just all of these years later, and it's down to the bare bones, and you got Luxury Lance and Jose Altuve, who can't play second base no more, and you're trying to get him to play left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's
an interesting time to be.
Come out and swing the bat like he always has and put the numbers up that he always has in that leadoff spot, and nobody will give a rip.
And that's why I'm good with it.
That's right.
Because I still want Jose Altuve to be the leadoff hitter for the Astros.
That's right. That's right. By the way, B. Scott, I'm going to need somebody, fellas. So I have not been to the rodeo yet, but okay. my
I went last night, so I can talk on it.
My cousin Head. He went and saw Zach Top the other day, and
that made you what's the matter,
I just was not ready for that name.
well, Jason's his name.
Yeah, you got relatives that got different names. I had an uncle named Frog. My uncle Frog.
I had a great grandmother named Bunnyhead.
Yeah, there you go. Like, the deal is I always talk about him and I refer to him as Head because when all the fellas went to Baytown or whatever, they met him. He was introduced as Head. It's actually Jason, but
shout out Dirty Bay.
Yeah, so he goes to the, him and he's got two little girls that are high school, college age, and they love music, and one of them actually rides and performs in the rodeo. That's actually good luck, Hannah. Hannah Grace is riding in the Houston rodeo, showing in the Houston rodeo. This week, I believe it is, but he went over there for Zach Top, and he said, "Look, man," he said, "Zach Top was great." He said, "The acoustics, great." Don't know what everybody's talking about,
really.
He said, "But I don't know that I'm ever going back again."
Uh oh.
I said, "Damn, Jay, what happened?"
Uh oh.
Traffic, parking was a mess. Had to walk a country mile, and you know my people. We don't just go to the rodeo. They showed up off really early to go over that little wine garden and get some drinks.
You gonna make me come into the city?
Clearly, they are not counting heads in that wine garden. They're gonna cram as many people as they can in that joint. And a crowd don't bother Jay. It had to be like ridiculously uncomfortable. And then getting in the building was a nightmare as well. He said, "Music, acoustics, Zach Top, great. Everything else, hell no."
Sounds like NRG to me.
Never again. No. I've had some bad experience. I don't know if I've ever had a never again experience.
Yes, it just goes to show you how different experiences could be, because mine, I would say, was the exact opposite.
You had a good one, huh? You had that parking pass, too, didn't you?
I had that parking pass. And so we just walked straight up to the front door.
Yeah.
And said, "Can we get in here, please?" They said, "Yes, sir, you can." Right. And I was right in there. But the acoustics, wasn't as great as I would have liked for it to have been. Okay. Like, I feel like I would have enjoyed. Like, I enjoyed. We went to go see Lauren Daigle. Now, I will point out, going to go see Lauren Daigle and going to go see Zach Top, that's two totally different crowds and two totally different types of nights we're talking about. Like, this was more kind of a family-friendly type of night. It was probably not as many people, if we're being fair about it.
Yeah.
But, like, I enjoyed her here 2 years ago when she performed in our Odyssey Lounge in an intimate setting.
Yeah.
Than I did in this big show, which was well-produced. And I could tell they were, you know, good musicians and good singers, but it just didn't sound as good as I thought it should.
Well, when
but
you hear somebody in that right there, that spoils you. That's that's like going to a Astros game or a Texans game and sitting in a suite every time and then having to go sit in regular seats. Like that crap will spoil you.
But you do still expect the stadium experience to sound, I guess, better than what I felt like it sounded like. And I enjoyed myself. I'm not complaining about it. It's just an honest critique. But getting in and out of the building, pretty easy, man.
I've been to one rodeo where I where the sound quality I thought was good. Like, I enjoyed the concert.
Can I guess the artist?
Please do.
Stapleton.
No. If I had seen him, he might be it, but I had never seen him.
I could see that one.
No, the one performer I've seen where I thought it sounded great beginning to end was Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, yeah, she's true.
Okay. I mean, she sounded album quality. Yeah. But other than that, every time I go to the rodeo, I'm like, man.
Well, it's either got to be a solo artist that carries the show and it's not about all the music drowning them out, or it has to be such a powerful voice like Chris Stapleton to where it don't matter what the hell he does and he's just going to overcome it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you got, and that's the thing, like the old school rodeo where you just had a bunch of traditional country music artists. That's what it was, right? So nobody gave a rip. I mean, it was more about a dude standing up there or a gal standing up there and just singing songs. Where now you've got these performers, these entertainers, and it's a little bit more difficult from an acoustic standpoint to pull it all off. So
you got to be strong vocally to make it real. Like I saw John Legend like more than 15 years ago.
I bet he was good,
man. Like the acoustics didn't matter. Like John Legend sounded good in any microphone with any kind of speaker going on.
That's
but it's got to be like that.
Yeah, that would be. Boy, I'm jealous of that one. I like some John Legend.
Yeah, and that was like prime, you know, kind of prime John Legend at that time.
Boy, that'd be nice.
2009, somewhere around there.
That'd be nice. All right, that's B. Scott. He is in for Ron Hughley. T-Mill is on the ones and twos behind the glass. Once again, we greatly appreciate you tuning in and sticking with us here. Now, we've got it's still free agency wide open. The Texans got a lot of moves that they should make. A lot of guys floating around out there that have not signed yet, including Cooper Kupp. I know that's one B. Scott wants to keep an eye on. There's several guys that are out there, a couple of offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen, several receivers that are out there that I got to believe the Texans are flirting with. Now, the pot got a little sweeter overnight here, though. Another very good interior offensive lineman got released. There's an obvious connection with the Texans. Who is it, and what are the chances that he could end up being a Texan? I'll tell you who it is, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Texans, they've gone pretty quiet on the roster building front, whether that be free agency or trades. The Texans have been quiet. This is show number two. I think yesterday, B. Scott, when we were on air, it was pretty quiet. And today, up until right now, it's been pretty quiet. We'll see what happens. So we're looking elsewhere, just looking around the landscape of the NFL, free agency, cut line, who's getting released, who's getting snatched up. And, fellas, I got some decent news. What I like to think is some decent news. Could have a little bit of life here. There's been another really, really good, or a guy that has been really, really good in the interior offensive line that has some connections to the Texans. The Patriots have released center David Andrews. Now, David Andrews has been in New England 8 years, I believe.
Longer than that.
He's been an eight-time captain. 8 years he's been a captain. How many years has he been there?
I think exactly 10 seasons.
Okay, yeah, he's early 30s, 32, 33, I believe.
Yeah.
Eight-time captain on the team, which is, to me, again, you know, if that's kind of what the Texans need to be looking for. They need some – we're going to discuss this later in the show. They need some real captain-like gentlemen in this group. And let me rephrase that, some real captain-like dogs in this group. He's a Super Bowl champ. Now, he is coming off of shoulder surgery. This could be a – we're just going to retire, although I don't know why you wouldn't just say you're going to retire versus let the team announce they're going to cut, that they're cutting you, they're releasing you. But we'll see. This is a guy that came in, I believe he was a free agent a free agent pickup back in the day coming out of college.
Yeah, undrafted, yep.
Worked his way up. Not the most talented guy in the building, but from word on the street is an absolute dog, a guy that is, again, on the heels of the Laramie Tunsil move, and we're talking offensive line and kind of changing that the culture and the dynamic in that room. This is a guy that I think would potentially take care of some of that. And I think the dots that you got to connect here is that David Andrews is and has been in New England. It's a Nick Caserio guy. Obviously spent some time with Nick Caley and Cole Popovich being in that organization as well for a while. They've all crossed paths. They're all very familiar with David Andrews. I got a couple of questions. Is one, does he want to play? You know, as you said, 10 years in the league, the way he has to play, that can be pretty taxing. Not the biggest human being, not the most gifted human being. It's an uphill battle and has been for him, but he's been unbelievably good.
And went from undrafted to a 10-year vet.
There you go.
Two-time Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, so. eight times in New England he was a captain. So, yep. But here's the deal. Do you want to play? And are you healthy? Those are the two first, right? I don't know. It's a shoulder injury, so I'd be shocked if a guy can't come back from a shoulder injury. Are you healthy? Can you play? And I'm gonna be honest with you. For me, the two football questions I have: can he process and can he communicate? And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he's absolutely right.
Without
a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Is he a guy? I don't think people understand B. Scott. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just the luxury of having. I had this in college, and I had it in the league. The few starts that I got with Mark Stepnoski, I had it in college with my man named Grant Garrett. Was everything you could ask for in a center. But the value in having a center that when you break the huddle. As a quarterback, I got so many things on my mind when I break the huddle, right? My process is always going to be to check the play clock. But as soon as I break the huddle, check the play clock, see the safeties, right? What am I looking at? Is it a soft zone coverage? Do I need to adjust to a pressure? I can see that right away by checking the safeties. Do I need to rush? Do I need to call a timeout, play clock? Okay, boom, we're in really good shape, right, when you come out and do that. Okay, now I get into my calls, right? I get into, hey, we're going to slide the protection. Where's the mic? Hey, okay, what kind of coverage is Nico getting on him? Is it press? Is it soft? Is it inside leverage? Is it outside leverage? Is that route going to convert to this or that? Okay, do I need to change this play to a run because the pass protection isn't there? What do I need to do? You don't know how valuable it is on two fronts to have a center say, I can handle the protection part of this. Right now, as a quarterback, I can always trump you. I can always say, you shut the hell up. I got this. This is where we're going.
Right.
But you're gonna handle that. And then on the flip side of that, to have a center that also goes, hey, play clock, man, we got to snap this thing. When you're in the middle of it and you're over here, you know, you're jiving and you're trying to figure things out. And that play clock gets to five, and there's something there that tells him there's a clock in his head that, hey, man, I got to speed this thing along. Like, that is so valuable, right? And then you look at where the Texans have been and what they appear to have struggled with is just the sheer communication of what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? So I just can't emphasize enough what the value of a good veteran center that can simply process and communicate. Even if he's not the best in terms of pass protection and run blocking, and he's a little bit on the older side and doesn't have it, you know, what he used to have. If you can communicate and process in this league and move your feet, you can play a long time, and you can damn sure help the Houston Texans.
Yeah, man. Never been to a Pro Bowl, never been named an All-Pro, none of that, but has all of those other things that you're talking about, the experience,
yeah.
The winning experience on top of that. And I don't think, like, the other side of this conversation with the Texans as it pertains to the Texans is, and we don't talk about this a lot, but they have now gone back-to-back years with either a turnstile at the center position or an inexperienced center. Like, think about it. In C.J. Stroud's
first... With a rookie quarterback behind him.
With a rookie quarterback behind him.
And a first-year play caller on the sideline.
Exactly. Well, and that's the first year, right? Rookie quarterback, first-year play caller in the first year, and it's a turnstile at center.
Yeah.
Eventually, it becomes Michael Dieter, who's a lifelong backup, right? And so that's probably not an ideal situation. And then last season, in C.J. Stroud's second season, and we understand all of the issues that they had offensively, but at center, it's supposed to be Juice Scruggs, who, by the way, didn't play a whole lot of center in his rookie season.
Right.
He was hurt to start the season and then ends up playing a lot of guard to end the season. And so he's basically a second year guy, but kind of a rookie center going in there last year with CJ Stroud, second year. So, and then of course they move him to guard, and now it's Jarrett Patterson. And then Jarrett Patterson is giving you probably the best that you could probably expect out of Jarrett Patterson. Yeah. But how much of a plan is that? He should be a guy that's around and given an opportunity to compete. But obviously you're trying to plan for more than that, right? So that's what it comes down to. Like the fact that you have had either inconsistent or inexperienced center play for the last couple of years with CJ Stroud. And this guy is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, a decade in the league, a part of the Patriots all-decade team from the last decade. And like as you mentioned, an eight-time captain. Oh, that leadership void that you're talking about. If that is in fact an issue, not an issue if you bring this guy in. You're not having those same concerns.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I can't. We don't talk about it enough because it's kind of off in the weeds when it comes to radio. It's hard. It's a hard conversation to have to always emphasize like the importance of that center, man, and the fact that the Texans haven't had a consistent one. Let's not forget about being great or just a consistent center. You don't know how important that is to winning and playing good up front and how important that is to CJ Stroud. I mean, that's just one more thing that's on CJ Stroud's plate when you constantly changing your center, right? Whether it's just the cadence or taking snaps underneath or all of that stuff, the speed, the tempo of the snap and how it's getting back, how accurate it is or isn't. One guy, hey, I gotta be aware of this snap. He's spraying the snaps all over the place. I gotta be really aware. Or one guy puts it in my chest and in my hands in my catch window every single time and gives me the laces 90% of the time. Like that is a huge advantage if you can get that center. The thing that scares me, look, I've said it multiple times, I would have zero problem if Jarrett Patterson was the center for this football team. I would have zero problem for that. I think he did an admirable job last year, and I think as a center, as I asked here about David Andrews, can you process and can you communicate? I don't need you to be the best run blocker. I don't need you to be the best pass protector. 99% of the time, you're getting help anyway. Either you're helping somebody or you're getting help, right? So I don't necessarily need a guy that is lock, stock, and barrel, great in the run game, great in the pass game, great communicator, great processor. Like, I just need a guy to check the boxes of processing and communicating. And if I think there's a chance Jarrett Patterson could do that. But if you get a chance to bring in a veteran that has the pelts on the walls like a David Andrews, he still wants to play, he's still got that tread on the tire, and he can still go, nobody would know that better than Nick Caserio, Nick Cayley, Cole Popovich, and company. So keep an eye on that one if he does indeed still want to play ball.
And look, I want to be clear. I don't know that David Andrews is better than Jarrett Patterson right now. Like, I can't tell you that for a fact. All I'm saying is, if you tell me, hey, we've had C.J. Stroud for 2 years and it's been a turnstile at the center position, how would you like to give him a center that won two Super Bowls with Tom Brady?
Come on, man.
Tom Brady center.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
He said Houston Texans, baby. I like it. 2:30 in the show. We already breaking some news. T, what you got?
Yes, the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio, they're at it again. Another trade. Ian Rapoport checking in here. There's been a trade. The Vikings guard, Ed Ingram. That is a guard, folks. Ed Ingram from the Vikings is being traded to the Texans. Sources tell Ian Rapoport as Houston continues to rework their offensive line. The former second-round guard from LSU is on the move to Houston.
I don't know. Again, I'm not real familiar with Ed Ingram, but I love the move in a sense of we're not gonna take what's available just on in free agency and sign these guys. We're going to go out and we're going to flip stones, as we all know Nick Caserio does, and we're going to find somebody that's available. We're going to find somebody important here, guys. So we're going to find somebody in a system that's using similar terminology, speaking the same language. O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings, their offense is a McVay Shanahan offense. So again, I'm not saying it's the exact same, but I would be shocked if like the big pieces, like, hey, here's how we protect our quarterback. We're going with scat right, and scat right means the same thing in Minnesota's offense as it does in Houston's offense. Smoke protection is a five man protection where you're getting everybody out, and it's just like the terminology means something very, very similar, if not the exact same. So that is key here. A Texas guy.
Yeah, I can.
Texas guy.
Can at least tell you Ed Ingram has started 41 games over the last 3 years, started all 17 his rookie year, 15 games his second year, and then last year started 9 of 16 games. So has a lot of experience over the last 3 years. Obviously, as mentioned, was a second-round pick. So a guy that's played a lot of football.
Yeah, 26 years old, played a lot of football. Obviously, very talented, being a former second-round pick. You're talking 6'3", 307, and played a lot of football, to your point, young. So if this is a if they hit on this move – I would think that this is a guy that's going to be good for years to come here in Houston, give you a handful of years. Anyway, so I love this move. Desperate need at the interior offensive line position. If you can go out and get a guy that again comes from a team that's playing a similar style of offense, using some of the same terminology, that is a huge plus. That guy comes in here, he doesn't have to spend a month now learning the terminology and learning what this or that means. It's really picking up on the advanced classes of this offense, and he should fit in very, very well. Again, a guy that, given the Texans' situation offensively, it needed to be a plug-and-play offensive lineman. This is a plug-and-play offensive lineman in every sense of the word. All right, we'll react to this on the flip side of it. I didn't realize, T. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go over there. It's quite a bit of a run there. We'll talk a little bit more about Ed Ingram, the Texans' new offensive lineman, on the other side of this break right here.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Ron is out. Brandon Scott is in. T Mills on the ones and twos. We're rocking and rolling, and the Texans are active again. They finally, in 2 days, they went radio silent on us, and then Tyler hits that breaking news button over here. The Texans are trading for Vikings former second-round pick Ed Ingram. He is a guard. definitely adds depth. They gave a sixth-round pick for him. I think he's got $3.4 million left on his contract. 1 year left on his contract. Be a free agent next year. They got a sixth-round pick for him.
You're a Tiger, but now you're a Texan.
Obviously,
man.
A guy that started a lot, played a lot of football in Minnesota, but was benched this year. Yeah. And was piled on a bit this year with Minnesota, so we'll see what this means for Houston. But another, to me, this is, I'm going to go ahead and couch this as kind of the Lakin Tomlinson, just a definitely for sure a depth piece, a piece that'll be competing for a job in the in camp, and we'll see what comes of it. Obviously, a big talented former second round pick out of LSU, big talented kid. We'll see if again, Nick Caley and Cole Popovich can get the best out of him.
Yeah, this is a guy who's got some experience, but it feels like more of a reclamation project. Like, right? Like, if you look at it, he's not particularly, like, he struggles in pass pro. That's a red flag because that's the issue that the Texans have had. And he's not particularly great in the run game. He's better in the run game than he is in pass pro, you know, which they need to be probably better in that area as well. But his weakness is in pass protection. He was benched for this reason. Now he's got experience, but you know there's a reason why he was in that position. Probably considered the weak link of the Vikings offensive line last year. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't be worked with or that there's no value in him at all, especially being a second round pick. He's been actually, I was kind of looking at this during the break. He's been pretty open with some of the things that he struggled with. I think it's a more of a reclamation project more than anything. Somebody that can come in and compete, a potential depth piece. But if, like, let's say that, you know, Nick Caley and Cole Popovich can do something with the guy, it could be one of those one man's trash is the next man's treasure type of things. And that's not to say he's like some kind of all pro or anything. But can he be better than Shaq Mason was last year with a change of scenery and a new coaching staff? I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, look, I mean, here's the deal. You some of the stuff that was going on here, I know Minnesota won a bunch of games, but as it pertains to pressure in the quarterback, some of the things that were going on here is what we watched late in the season from Minnesota. Quarterback holding the football too long, play caller continuing to try to drive the football down the field at the mercy of the offensive line. And now look, that's, I mean, I'm not saying that the offensive line shouldn't have been better, but there were late in the season, there were no, the demise of the Vikings was sure not the inability to handle pressure, but a lot of that again had to do with the play caller and the quarterback as well and their approach. So look, to me, I go back to the Laremy Tunsil trade. Like, this ain't moving the needle for me in terms of the things that have been said from this organization and the biggest move in the offseason this year, trading Laremy Tunsil. Right? I mean, you cannot, absolutely cannot have Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Cole Popovich and Nick Caley and every decision maker, either with the team or on the offensive side of the football, talking about we gotta fix this pass protection, which was one of the worst in the league from the inside out. We got to fix it from the inside out. We got to fix it from the inside out. And we go get Lakin Tomlinson and we go get Ed Ingram for a sixth round. Like that can't be, we're going to move on from Laremy Tunsil to allow ourselves to change the culture, to allow ourselves to sign other guys, to allow our coaches to coach, to allow, you know, whatever leadership, whatever culture, whatever standard is going to be set on the offensive line, we're going to allow all that to take place. And we're going to, the only other thing we're going to change is we're going to bring in Lakin and we're going to bring in Ed.
But see,
like that's not going
to
add up.
But honestly, Clint, this is what goes back to my lack of celebration a couple of days
fair.
Ago.
Absolutely, 100% fair.
Because to me, we are here because of a failed attempt at doing exactly what you're talking about. Like, I'll give them credit for this. They tried to do exactly what you're saying. It just did not work the way that they wanted it to. But they paid all of that money to Laremy Tunsil. They extend Titus Howard and give him the money because they think he's the right tackle. And they draft Kenyon Green high. And Juice Scruggs is a second-round pick. And Shaq Mason is somebody that they trade for and give extra money. And they tried to throw money and resources at it before, and it didn't work. And so now this is like the flip side of, okay, now we got to blow it up. What we did the last time didn't work. Do we use a different strategy? And if that strategy is different, like, what exactly does that look like? And I get what you're saying, but now this is like, to me, the consequences. Okay, we had the big money offensive line, yeah. So now let's get this small money offensive line and see if we can just make them work in concert together.
Well, it's the risk of it. If you want to go from a market setting left tackle and get that off your books, and then you want to spread it out across your O-line, cool. I mean, Ed Ingram and Lakin
that's Thomas, not enough.
You're not even accomplishing that.
That's not going to get it done.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're not that can't be the plan. Like the plan cannot be, you know, we're going to create this cap space and move on from a great player so that we can then go out there and get these bottom of the barrel guys to come in here and hopefully it works out. Like that cannot be the plan. I like the move that they're trading. Look, I don't want to poo-poo the move because I said it yesterday. When you look at their interior offensive line, hell, at this point they need bodies, right? And if you're not gonna use a first and second round pick on the interior offensive line, then you know you better go sign them in free agency, and then on top of that, you better bring in these caliber guys that could potentially be depth and compete for a spot, sure, but could potentially be depth. You got to do it all. Like you just from a body perspective, like you're looking at what you're looking at right now. And people say, oh, what about the draft? Okay, you even if you draft one in the first round, you still ain't got enough.
Yeah.
You're still shorthanded.
Well, I'm good with...
You still ain't moved the needle.
I'm good with bringing in guys that have experience and bringing those guys in to compete, you know, for these positions that they have of need.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, my concern is that... And I don't think either of us know exactly what the plan is. We don't think that this right here is the plan or that the plan is finished. My concern... At least for you and anybody that's wanting to see any of the sexy moves, and I include myself as one of them, I'm concerned that whatever the plan is does not overwhelm you, does not, you know what I mean, does not impress you in that kind of way, and it's just going to kind of be this like nickel and diamond, like all the whole plan is going to make you feel like this, I feel like. It's just going to be a lot of guys coming in here to compete, and they're going to do that cliche of let's put our best five out.
Can't do it. We got to move on from that. I mean, what they do with this offensive line and what D'Amico does with this offensive line, this is going to shape the narrative around D'Amico Ryans. Right now, great coach, hot new coach, great defensive mind. Hey, took this team from a dumpster fire to winning 10 games and winning the division. Awful division, right? All right, cool. If D'Amico Ryans can't figure out the offensive side of the football, this is going to be the same book that we've read before with defensive-minded coaches that can't figure out the offensive side of the football and can't get it right and can't take that next step. This O-line has to get right. And I'm going to tell you what they've done so far. What these moves, the Lakin Tomlinson and this move, this Ed Ingram move, what this has done for me is this has removed your depth, like your potential depth. Like last year, you were one play away from Kendrick Green, who should be a fullback in the NFL, playing left guard. You were an injury away from Jarrett Patterson, who's a center, having to play guard because you didn't have nobody else. At one point, you were a snap away from having to play Kenyon Green again late in the season after coming back from an injury, knowing damn good and well he had no business being out there. Right? These two moves right here should be moves that at least solidify those worries are a thing of the past. You're at least going to put a 6'5", 300-pounder out there that can ideally physically handle the NFL.
Clint,
every guard position.
Everything that we have laid out over the past hour is exactly why you can't really trust this organization's evaluation of the offensive line right now. Like how they go about building an offensive line. I'm not saying that
they're supposed to change that for me, damn it.
I'm not saying that they can't do it. I'm not trying to put limitations on it. I'm just saying based off of the receipts we have so far, it ain't good. And they threw money at it before. So, like, it's hard to really be it's hard to be confident in it until they do it.
You say that, B. Scott. The two people that they threw money at were like integral pieces all year.
No, I'm not saying not to throw money at it.
Shaq messed the bed, but you look at Titus and Laramie. I mean,
I'm not saying not to throw money at it. I want them to continue to throw money. I'm saying we don't have the receipts to say that they are actually good at it.
Right,
because money is a first round pick in Kenyon Green. Right, money is the extension for Shaq Mason.
Yeah,
I mean, like we just don't have enough to say that they're good.
Fair. Absolutely. All right, the Rockets, man. The Rockets got a nice little win at home last night versus the Suns, y'all. They equaled their win total from last year with 16 games to play. obviously moving in the right direction. Durant and Booker, obviously on the Suns. They were on the floor last night, both played. But the best player on that floor was in a Rockets uniform. B. Scott's going to tell you who that is and what all it means next, right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.